This is CliffCentral.com.
Let's get straight into it. It's time for the burning platform. I have my pillars of political advice. Every single week, I just sit here, listen to you two. I learn from you two. Put me in Canton. Hi, Canton. How are you?
Oh, flipping awesome. And you?
Good. How's your perspective on life this morning? Let's start off with that.
My perspective on life is what it's always been.
Which is?
Life is a tale of sound and fury told by an idiot signifying nothing.
Do you?
You have not actually understood Shakespeare until you've heard it in the original Tamil.
The original Tamil.
Do you and our...
You do understand Tamil is the world's oldest living language.
No, I did not understand.
Do you speak Tamil?
Yes, I do.
Why the I'm in the reservation?
Because I was about to say something obscene and then I had to, you know, catch myself. Because that's kind of the polite thing to do.
I've been to India with the Durban Indian and the Indians were like, where are you from? I was just like, he's Indian, guys. Right? So it doesn't necessarily mean you speak Tamil.
No, but you have to understand something in the context of my tribe.
Okay. Your people.
No, my tribe. They're my tribe. They're not necessarily my people.
It's different.
My people is a particular category. It's anyone who buy me lunch is my people.
Halala.
Yeah.
That's where the bar is, can't they?
Exactly. That's the bar.
All right.
Yeah. You know, and the masses will never buy you lunch.
But
to put this in perspective,
tell us about the
pronunciation
tribe.
Is Shyamalan. He's Tamil.
M. Night.
Yes.
Shyamalan.
Yeah. His name is Manoj Neliyattu Shyamalan.
Manoj.
Yes.
Manoj.
Yes. Manoj Neliyattu Shyamalan.
And I'm assuming then he went with, where does the knight come from? A contraction of the Naloj.
Dude, I have no idea.
Manoj.
Manoj.
My name is a contraction of Srikanthan Velayudhanpile.
One more time.
Srikanthan Velayudhanpile. My middle name, Velayudhan, by the way, literally means spear of the nation.
Well, now, what's on your... I know we're getting... We digress slightly, but I have to indulge. What's on your ID?
What's on my ID? Srikanthan Velayudhanpile.
Your passport, your driver's license.
Canton, you mean the apartheid government got all of that right?
And they dealt with it? He's pulling it out.
How? They didn't just call you boy.
Srikanthan
Like you're murdering it again. No. Why?
I can next time you have to go to Home Affairs, next time you have to go to the bank, can I just sit in queue with you? And I want to hear the attendants call that out.
They don't. They
Why don't you just get me at Starbucks when they have to put my name on the cup of coffee?
That's Canton in a nutshell then. Exactly.
Canton. Please, brother, you've been, since I met you, you've been saying, I need to start a political party.
Yes.
I need you to tell me how much it costs to get onto that list. I just looked at the number of people, the parties that actually made it through the gates by 5 o'clock yesterday afternoon.
Yes.
I'm astounded. Kante, how much is this deposit? Why are there so many people there?
It is 200,000 rand for the national ballot and then 45,000 rand per province.
45,000 rand per.
Yeah, so total.
So 245,000 rand.
No, so total of 600,000 if you can, contesting both national and provincial.
And so when we have a number, Sispum, you were reading it out for me, 312 parties registered by 5 o'clock yesterday.
No, actually, I think there was something like 20. Oh, you're saying that there are 312 who paid their deposit.
Who paid that? That's what it says here, registered parties.
And this is on the IEC website.
Political party list. I went into their site last night. They weren't up yet. This is what I was like.
Okay, well, cool. Awesome.
But the breakdown.
But seriously, I love this because.
The breakdown, however, right, in terms of the various provinces,
right.
Is that's where it gets a little bit. You know, there's only 15 in Gauteng, 46 in Limpopo, 10 Northwest, and my personal favorite, 106 in the Western Cape.
Wow.
How many in KZN?
20.
Yeah, see, KZN is the only province that matters because, you know.
In what way?
Because we rule the country, dude, you know.
if you get KZN right.
There's still that collective as well.
Yeah.
If you get KZN right, then you've got...
This is not my Zulu tribe.
Okay.
If you get KZN right, you hold this country by the nuts. Why do you think President Matamela had to go have the party in the election manifesto launched in KwaZulu? You have to get KwaZulu on your side.
Yeah,
otherwise.
But Chenge was watching him carefully.
Exactly.
Out of the corner of his eye.
I really want to get into his manifesto. I was telling Pumi.
I see Chenge now supports expropriation without compensation. Dun, dun, dun.
Okay. The PAC leads.
Are the PAC still there?
Oh.
The PAC leads.
It might be a shock that they're registered. I really do want to get into the IFP manifesto a little later on, but just on the point of 5 o'clock yesterday, because we were all just counting down and looking at what has happened and who is included. And I want to start off with our dearest Batabile Dlamini, who has called it the will of the people that she was included on the ANC list.
She's president of the ANC Women's League. How can she not be included?
And she comes from.
Thank you.
please complete that. No, I don't know.
She comes from Natal.
Yes. I told you.
She comes from Pietermaritzburg.
So let's try to analyze it from the ANC internal perspective.
They're a bunch of corrupt bastards and they keep putting themselves forward. You want to analyze it. No, come on.
So it's not the strategy of perhaps she might have a stronghold.
No, if you look in terms of the National Executive Committee of the ANC as currently constituted, duly elected at NASREC, it's entirely the same coterie that was put in place by Jacob Zuma predominantly. I mean, there are Zuma people who are still a significant chunk of that NEC. So Matamela doesn't have a hope in hell of actually trying to force them out.
So
I noticed that Malusi is also there.
Malusi is also there.
Okay. No surprise to
you. So as David Bullard said, we've got a wanker, we've got a drunkard, and we've got a liar.
Bona.
A bankrupt liar. That was it, yes.
Which Kevin, is
a
bankrupt do you think...
I would not repeat that because it's defamatory.
And you wouldn't want to land yourself in that haunt water.
You can see the tweet. Yeah.
Do you think that Matamela is going to make it? Do you think he's going to make his 5 years?
No.
Why
really?
Not?
I don't think he'll make his 5 years.
How many years do you think he'll last?
Huh?
How many years do you think he'll last?
Can we talk months rather than years?
Really?
Yeah.
Hold up. Why do you say that?
Because here's what's going to happen, okay? The ANC is going to lose a significant chunk of votes. It doesn't mean that they're going to drop below 50%. I don't think we're going to be that lucky.
You're talking about this current
this current coming election, they're going to lose a significant chunk of votes, at which point everyone's going to turn around and point fingers at him. And suddenly, here's a hypothetical situation for you.
Okay.
We have the elections. And then after the elections, Parliament gets convened, and
they don't put him forward.
Mokgweng steps up.
So
there
nice, to, you say yeah, twice, to, Chief Justice.
Yes, and at that point, someone stands up and says, "I propose the name of Comrade Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma as presidential candidate."
Goodness gracious me. This you see panning out.
Hitler Shekiza has been campaigning. He's making it very clear that he is the person who calls the shots. I do not understand what's up with all of you. All of you guys are starry-eyed with this Ramaphosa stuff. Really.
Sispumi, do you agree with this?
Do you see the foundations of this? I must say, I hadn't thought about the situation of somebody in parliament when they proposed the president. Putting Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma. Hey man, what is her second name? I saw her second name the other day and I thought, what? This is the English name. I didn't see that, but I definitely don't see Mr. Ramaphosa making it all the way to 5 years.
Why do you say that?
I don't see him. I almost don't see him making it past 2 years. Because
his deputy stands up in parliament and says that he doesn't take the comments of the finance minister seriously.
But hey, I think that man, ne, was betrayed in that moment.
For our listeners, Pumi is wagging her finger at me like P.W. Botha.
Eloquence. Oh. The man was betrayed by his lack of eloquence, right? And again, we spoke about this last week, and I said the problem for me is that there seems to be no script coming out of Luthuli House for all of their members of parliament to say, these are our 10 talking points, which, as a, you know, everyone in PR knows that this is how you deal with this nonsense, right?
I remember you saying that.
You have talking points and you say, these are the 10 talking points. Do not deviate from here. Bring everything back to this place. And I think he was betrayed. I think Didi was betrayed by his lack of eloquence. Because
you're being too kind. Can what you do? That's an idiot.
To also be blunt, I don't see him as a victim, as you're trying to.
No, I don't think he's a victim. Okay.
But as a leader, if you are in that position, the least we hope you could do is just be able to string your thoughts and be able to just express yourself, express what you are doing and what you are planning, to be able to say, guys.
Mm-mm. Absolutely. And what he was trying to say is, he was trying to say, we as a party have a particular positioning, and that positioning, and that's what he said when he said that unless this man is talking about policy and government policy, everything else I'm not going to take seriously, right? The problem with that statement, however, is that it means there is a breakdown of communication at Luthuli House. So if they don't agree with what Tito is saying in his personal capacity, they need to bring him to book there to say, listen here, brother, whether you are in your personal capacity or you are the Minister of Finance, those two people are still party members, and the party line is X. And if you cannot toe the party line, and if you cannot be an advocate for the party line, you cannot be in this position. It says there's a breakdown of communication at Luthuli House.
Do you think
let me interrupt for a second. My good friend Tony Beamish has just sent me a message to point out that her name is Nkosazana Clarice.
Lovely name. Reminds us of the silence of the land.
You know, I'm a fan of Nkosazana.
You are?
I am a fan of Nkosazana. In fact, if you...
A fan of what?
Well, if you...
Of his
if
tribe.
If you check my timeline and the build-up to NASDAQ, I tweeted a range of reasons why I thought she'd make a better president.
Why do you think she'd make a better president?
Go check my timeline. I'm not
going to...
Come on, guys. Let's move on. We're not talking Nkosazana.
That's so long ago.
I know. We're not talking Nkosazana.
You brought it up and we simply asked.
Tell you what. While we are talking, I will find the tweet and simply retweet it. And we can get there. We've got stuff to talk about this week. What's actually happening?
What isn't happening?
What isn't happening this week?
That is the question.
So what I was hoping for at 5 o'clock, I was hoping for a kind of, you know how at the end of the comrades, we're all just waiting, watching all of those exhausted people running into the finish line. That's what I was hoping for at the IEC. I was like hoping to see Andile arriving with his last minute check. I was hoping. And then this morning when I looked at all of the people that made it, and the kind of parties that have made it onto this list, I'm like, that's why I needed to know how much it costs. And maybe, Kenton, you'll get your wish. Maybe in 2024, I'll be out there with my 600,000 rand.
Yeah, if we start collecting the coins now.
If you had 3 cents here last week.
Yeah, Kenton, I will have to admit from last week as well, your little change that you gave me didn't make much of a big change. So I'll take it back. I was wrong, you were right.
Guys, let me tell you.
Can we talk?
Can we talk my theory in terms of the flood of parties?
Okay.
Let's assume that Mshilozi is actually behind it.
What, the PLF?
No. A range of parties.
Okay.
And it's motivating for.
All you have to do is, it's 200,000 rand here, 200,000 rand there, and so you've got people who are effectively taking votes away from the ANC, but they're consolidating it into centers of power that are then basically accountable to Jacob Zuma. And at the point when, if that strategy actually works, and particularly if he gets the word out underground, you need to vote for this guy in this area, or this party in this area, then you could conceivably have a situation where the ANC ends up dropping below 50% and all of these collected Zuma entities end up holding the balance of power.
So, and you're talking about
cheap at the price. You can understand that this is a man who purportedly took R1 billion in cash across to Dubai on the state aircraft. So, hey,
I'm just saying the man would that play those odds? Right,
yes.
I'm just saying the man doesn't have money right now.
No.
I don't think that.
The man is a chess player of note.
Choppy waters of coalition politics, and we've seen how that has worked out for the DA in Ekurhuleni and in Nelson Mandela Bay.
Yeah. Oi. Yeah, so you opened this can of worms.
So are you saying that we're going to have a situation where Gedleyihlekisa is essentially wagging the dog?
Yes.
But why? Why in that manner? Why in that manner? If he has Nkosazana in
play. Again, you know, when we talk about he has Nkosazana in play, he doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's be very clear about. And so, by the way, I did retweet that, so you can take a look through it. If you want to have a look at it, this woman divorced him. Okay, let's be very clear about that. So,
whereas other ones have either stayed the tune or tried to poison him with tea.
Yeah, but Nkosazana was actually a competent minister during her time. And
a shocking AU president.
Well, a shocking AU president. The AU is a toothless body. And the reason why she was shuffled off out there, I said at the time that the reason why she's being shuffled off to the AU is to prevent a potential conflict of power. The only reason why she would be a preferred candidate over Ramaphosa is because she would never have put Duduzane in jail. So, you know, it becomes an insurance policy at that level. Not that she is a lackey of her ex-husband.
Mm.
And again, this actually requires nuance. We need to sit back and dissect the relationships that are involved with people, how they've related over the years. Let's remember that Nkosazana was actually Team Thabo. She was not Team Jacob.
Mm.
So that's kind of the backstory in terms
of that. So, but the Nkosazana maneuver would give more power to Batabile, who was very instrumental in getting her into parliament and then obviously onto the ballot.
Look, the only power that Batabile needs, you know, comes in bottles that are now taxed at 65 rand a shot. And and apart from that, she just doesn't go to jail.
I'm still reeling over the fact that she didn't stand up against the syntax more, but alas.
She doesn't have to.
She doesn't have to.
I mean, you think she's got money.
It doesn't apply to us.
Okay, but let's move on. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about.
Just quickly, though, on that point that you were making.
Which one?
Around Nkosazana and the dynamics and whether she is even a pawn in the greater chess board that is Jacob Zuma's. What do we know, or rather, what do you know about their relationship or their dynamic currently? Do you think they communicate often? Do you think they liaise with each other on moves? I'm really just asking in general.
I've no reason to think that they would.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, historically, they certainly, you know, haven't done so. But I think really the question that should be asked is we need to see whether the state security apparatus has been spying on her. And that will then tell us whether or not that has been in place. But right now, Nkosazana's not a major player on the board at this time.
Okay, so, given that you don't think that Matavela is going to last very long, what then do you make of this Zimbabwe trip? It's one of the things we want to talk about today. Mm. But I'm very then interested in, because it seems he has no allies within the party. And he's made a lot of overtures to Zimbabwe and keeps giving.
I think he's still trying to be relevant in terms of Zimbabwe. But the fact is that we dropped the ball substantially in terms of Zimbabwe. What should have happened at the time that Zimbabwe came, basically extended a hand to us to say, guys, we need help. Please give us money to tide us over for this period.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't. And Botswana gave them money.
Was this last year or the year before?
Last year. Yeah, it was, so Emerson came asking for money.
And our kids isn't that big.
And we turned them down. And in fact, what he should have done, you know, if he had actually a clue of how to get the subcontinent back on track, he should have actually used that as an opportunity to say, guys, let's actually talk seriously around economic policy. What we need to do is to get you guys to move away from the US dollar, adopt the rand as the currency of the region. And in fact, we rebrand the rand. So essentially come up with a new sub-Saharan Africa currency. Let's call it the Afro for obvious reasons.
Afro.
Yeah, but because you know that people in the subcontinent are very sensitive to ideas of South African imperialism. So, I mean, because basically if you take all of the SADC countries and put them together, their total combined economic block, their GDP is less than 10% of South Africa's combined. Mm. You know, so they actually don't matter in the grand scheme of things. But what Ramaphosa should have done is to say, guys, the time has come. Let's actually talk a unified currency, because we've already got Namibia with their currency pegged to the rand. We've got Lesotho with their currency pegged to the rand. We've got Swaziland with their currency pegged to the rand. It's now time to actually pull on board Zimbabwe as well and actually have a unified currency across the region that's under the control of the South African Reserve Bank. And that is going to be the immediate single shot in the arm for the Zimbabwean economy. Because remember that most of Zimbabwe's money comes from South Africa. Mm-hmm. There's expats in South Africa who are sending money back to Zim. Now, at the point at which you had the collapse of the Zim dollar and you had the putting in of the US dollar, things were working fine for a while, except, of course, then Jacob Zuma ran our economy into the ground. He tanked the rand. And so the amount of money that was then flowing back to Zimbabwe from South Africa literally dropped by 50%.
Mm.
So just imagine that you've got 50% of your GDP suddenly drops in value by 50%. That gives you a sense of the impact on Zimbabwe.
So, but Canton, he's taken a very strong team into Zimbabwe. He's taken almost everybody.
I don't know why we're making such a big deal about this. Harare is closer to us than Cape Town. You know, it's a 1.5-hour flight to Harare. It's a 2-hour flight to Cape Town. What's the big deal?
But will it give him, if he's doing that for relevance, is it going to give him a lifeline?
Relevance with whom?
Yeah, so actually I even made a note of it. You use the word relevance. Firstly, let's just clarify that. What do you mean he was seeking relevance in Zimbabwe?
I didn't say that.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. That's why.
No, I said he lacks relevance.
Canton, you said he's doing it because he's seeking relevance, and then said it is because he was unable to act last year at the right time.
Mm. So I apologize. I was clearly drunk at the time.
Oh, okay.
I need some of that chocolate. Pass that chocolate this way, please.
Because then, what do you think, then, Pumi? What do you think is behind this,
dude? I have a problem with the guy. Because I think he's weak. I think he's a weak leader in every way. He doesn't make any decisions. Our president. Our president is weak in every way. You know, he doesn't make decisions. He hopes that commissions will make his decisions for him. He hopes. He seems to have hope as a strategy. You know, he hopes that everything will work out.
Mm.
I think throwing his weight behind Emerson is also not looking up for him. I think it's all a clusterfuck, actually. But...
Well, I was just trying to understand really for what purpose.
And
because then afterwards he releases a statement and has conversations around the fact that I assure you there will be no bailout for Zimbabwe. And sort of to me, what it sounded like, we discussed the statement briefly on yesterday's show. What it sounded like was, yeah, let's put you on ice, Zimbabwe. If we have a few rands to spare, maybe we might help you. But right now, no, there's nothing. Which then begs me to ask, then what was going on?
What are you doing? But in the what are you doing? Because the next thing is the Q&A. I mean, our president, Canton, our president, even in his Q&A, he was lukewarm about everything. What did you make of the Q&A session with him?
I didn't watch.
How Sorry, dare guys. You?
It wasn't.
How dare you a not watch? We need you here to give us.
No, it wasn't a priority at all. You know, I just waited to see what people were saying on Twitter, and I watched the storms going past. And yeah, frankly, I had better things to do. It was a gin and tonic with my name on it.
So when you though, Pumi, when you use the term lukewarm, I think if we had to carry on with a few other adjectives around our president and his presidency, I think he's been minding his P&Qs and just walking on the line.
That's why he's not going to last.
Okay.
That's why he's not going to last. But
dare I say, don't you think he was a perfect person to fit in after the Zuma administration?
No.
No, actually,
you don't think so?
Who was in charge of Eskom during Zuma's tenure?
I don't know.
It was him.
He was chairing the Eskom oversight committee. But let's just go back to this question of the sanctions on Zimbabwe.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys understand what the sanctions are?
No, you can explain a bit of that.
Yeah, there's no trade sanctions as such. The sanctions are against the ZANU-PF leadership.
Okay.
Yes. And essentially,
as long as ZANU.
Yeah, and Trump renewed those sanctions. I think he extended them for another year, so they'll be. I think they're probably going to be expiring towards the end of this year. But the sanctions are against the leadership, so they're not allowed to travel to the United States, and there's a range of things. But it's sanctions against individuals.
It's individuals.
So it's nothing that actually affects trade as such with Zimbabwe.
Okay.
So, you know, this entire thing about Ramaphosa standing up there and saying sanctions are hurting the people of Zimbabwe, he's talking rubbish. Really. Sanctions are hurting the leadership in the sense that they can't go to the UN as often as they would like, unless there's a special exemption that's given to them in order to pitch up out there.
So, Pumez used the word lukewarm. What's your adjective to describe our president?
Cupcake.
Oh. Dare I ask why?
I forgot about that.
Pumi will tell us.
And if
Pumi, tell us why cupcake. I actually have sent Letse to thank for telling me that story.
You have?
Sent Letse.
Is it?
Yes.
Because at the very beginning of his ambition towards the presidency.
Once upon a time.
What was leaked, and this is actually, and there's a very fascinating article that I saw this Sunday in one of the Sunday papers. I think it was by Nomboni Sokasa, about ANC leaders and their predatory nature.
Oh no.
And sexual aggression, because this bunch of emails.
Yeah, but to be fair, let's not single out ANC leaders for that. That's kind of our national sport as a nation, and it cuts across, you know, all race, gender lines as well.
But when you have the ruling party with so many of its leaders, and I saw Mduduzi Manana is on the second tier of people in the list, going in the national list, is. And a bunch of emails surfaced of some, was it students, dare I say, and President Matamela, and a romantic overtures, and a certain young lady calling him cupcake.
Goodbye. Miss me. Don't want that. I don't.
As calling her the chosen one.
Stop.
Oh, yes. Muketua. In Venda. Not just NJ, the chosen one. But
as
in
much
Venda.
As it makes my skin kind of crawl, I do want to research this later now, the prison cupcake. But looking at the opportunity he had in Parliament in the Q&A last week, what would you have loved him to have done with the moment? What would you have?
He's incapable of doing it. You know, why are we wasting time on
this? You don't have high hopes and expectations.
He's incapable of doing anything. How many months has he been in power? What has he done other than appointing commissions? Business confidence index in the country is now at a 2-year low. So in other words, it is worse now than it was under Jacob Zuma.
Yeah.
Let's be very clear about this.
Let's call it what it is.
Yes.
What about you?
Moving right along.
Oh, yours is, did you not have high hopes either, seeing him in the Q&A?
Years ago, I worked for a company. Years ago, a friend of mine worked for a company where, while he was in the private sector, he was the chairman of their board.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember having a conversation with her, and she said to me, he's useless as a chairperson of the board. And I thought, really? And then I went to work for a company where he was one of the shareholders. Mm. And I asked, at a particularly difficult time in our new business development, I asked the MD at the time, and I said, why are you not using this guy who has the power? And he said, well, he's not interested in that kind of stuff. And so I've always been clear in business that he's not that guy. He's not the strong power that people think he is, that he is not.
Dare I put words into Kenton's mouth, but he's probably thinking, well, he's not the guy at all. He's not the guy at all.
But then I met somebody who worked in mining when he was in the union, who gave me a perspective that I'd not thought about before, about the fact that, you know, this man has come up as a unionist. Shop steward, unionist, and what does a shop steward do? What does a unionist do? They negotiate. And they negotiate to a place where everybody walks away equally unhappy.
Hmm.
So that's what we've got. We've got a person who what he knows best is to get everybody to negotiate to a place where everybody is equally unhappy.
So I'd love to almost set up a bit of a bet here today. How long do you see President Ramaphosa staying in office for?
2 years.
2 years.
I'd go with 2 years. Yeah. 2 years is fair.
So 2021, somewhere there, we'll see him.
Yeah. Being recalled.
I was going to ask. That was going to be my next question. See, how would he leave?
Yeah, the recall. Yeah, a recall wouldn't work as effectively, because remember that a recall can only come within the ANC, and they'd need to actually have a majority within that setup. But on the other hand, if he does end up in a situation where his majority in terms of the National Assembly is kind of dodgy, then you can just simply have a no confidence vote where he then gets tossed out. And,
because
remember, it'll just call for all the Zuma supporters in the, National Assembly to then vote with the EFF and everyone else who wants him out.
Mm. Well, to also just summarize that before we move on, the whole Q&A that happened, the president said that he has nothing to hide when it comes to how much his son Andile made through doing business with Bosasa, which, by the way, now with the rebranding is known as African Global Corporations. Okay. He was questioned in Parliament about whether he has a conflict of interest related to the government contracting independent power producers, independent power producers to supply renewable energy to the national grid. At least he was able to answer that, Mr. Radebe, who was sick. And then he also faced some tough questions during the last Q&A session before the country heads to the polls. So let's see what happens there.
You're moving right along.
Yeah. Let's talk about what you came in guns blazing with a little earlier, Kanthan, the IFP manifesto.
Yes.
I think now I want to actually say this with some pride and excitement to be a fly on this wall for this conversation, and we'll later release it as a podcast, of course. But we are in talks with Mangosuthu Buthelezi's people, and we have a date in the next 2 weeks for him to come in and sit down with Gareth for an interview one-on-one. We have him for the whole afternoon, so I think there will be nothing off topic.
You need to let me
and
know.
We need
He's going to be here for the whole afternoon, so it'll be a short speech by him.
The man does hold the record. The man hold a record.
You know, maybe 2 hours.
He does hold the record.
It's still an introduction for him. I'm so horrible, but I was thinking in terms of editing that interview. We'll have to not just slow it down, we'll have to fasten it up a bit, because we know how much
The man is amazing. The man is amazing. The man has a mind, even at his advanced age, still has a mind that is astounding. And the kind of historical context, and Gareth is going to lose his mind having a conversation with the man. He is going to lose his mind. His tribe over there, Kenton.
Yes.
See, look at the bright smile he's flashing. I'm still like blown away at the fact that we have less than 60 days to go and people are still launching their bloody manifestos.
Yeah, that's I don't get. But I'm with
guys, can we just get some perspective here? Who actually votes on the basis of a manifesto? Really?
I think it's kind of taking off the list item.
Manifesto is just such a complete waste of time.
It's too long. Why do you think it's a complete waste of time?
How else? In an environment like we have right now, where there is so much crazy, people are actually kind of thinking, who the hell should I be voting for? And so I think this year particularly, more people are paying attention to manifestos than before.
You reckon so?
Yeah.
How many manifestos have you read, Pumi?
And what stands out to you?
What stands out to you?
That every single person is trying so hard to be an anti-ANC, but all of the things that they are putting out there are basically a reworking of ANC policy.
I think, though, this is an extension of that first question. How and do their words matter more to you than their general going-ons? That's why I think a manifesto is a show, and they'll get the words right, and they'll say what the people want to hear. But does that matter more to you than what you see, the mess of it all happening within certain parties?
Well, you have to take it, you know, it's politicians politicking. I mean, I was very fascinated, Chantan, a couple of weeks ago, you were tweeting furiously as a young one, one young Aloysius. Is that how you say his name?
Why are you picking on Musi?
I was gone.
Is that his middle name?
Yes.
No, you lie. There's Clarice and Ulysses. We learned. That's my takeout from this morning, folks. I'm sorry. Yes. What was Musi saying?
No, more to the point, what was I purportedly saying?
You were purportedly saying. Yes. He was tweeting every time he'd start a part of the DA standing for this and this, Kenton would then retweet it and say, but that is an ANC policy.
Exactly, like, yes. That's true.
I've been saying there were like eight different tweets that you put out. With each one of the points that he was making, Kenton would tweet, but that's ANC policy.
Exactly.
That's ANC policy.
Well, back to the question then I posed to you. How do the words matter more to you at a manifesto?
They don't. And this is my starting point. You know, much as you may talk about manifestos, I'd really rather have people talking about principles. I stand for freedom of expression, and I reserve the right to use whatever racial epithets I want to see fit against anyone. So that is a fundamental principle. I would vote for that. Okay. I support property rights, and I'm completely opposed to expropriation without compensation. I would support that. I firmly support the right of people to bear arms for self-defense. I would vote for that. Those are principled things.
That's what you'd like to see.
I'm firmly against any racial division of the country that favors one race group at the expense of another. That is a firm principle. I would vote for that. Nobody is saying those things right now. Well, the Freiheits Front.
Freedom.
They're saying fight back. Now or never.
Yes. But you know, the question that we posed to them last week was to say, well, guys, you know, do you actually have the charisma to pull this thing off? No, I don't think so. So, you know, I think that the FF Plus has a range of principles. But, you know, as soon as you start talking about minorities, I don't believe in minority rights. I believe in individual rights. Because you define individual rights and then everyone's rights get guaranteed as a result of the individual rights being defined. But again, no one is talking about that specifically. So everyone is basically one flavor of the other, pretty much.
You know, Kenton, and I've always wondered why the IFP is not kind of consolidating its real power base and only contesting in KZN. Because they're strong there. You know, they're very strong, and they're really largely a regional player now. You know, I think if they were to, and when I looked at the
IFP is still the fourth largest party.
Yeah, but they're really strong in KZN.
No, it doesn't matter. But you want them to lose the fact that they are number four in the National Assembly. Why? There's no advantage by saying we're backing off from the national platform and we're going to become regional. No, actually, your influence has to come at both levels. So they've got no reason to back off. I can see a scenario where the IFP is actually increasing its footprint in the National Assembly. Because remember that...
With whom at the helm? Sorry to cut you off.
The IFP.
Yeah, if you see them grow, with whom at the helm?
Still with Sheng.
With Sheng.
Did
I not tell you the man's election slogan was a man you can trust?
Yeah.
You can trust this man.
Trust that he'll stay alive forever.
But, you know, understand that the NFP has now been, has now been dissolved. So he's going to claw back, those seats. The IFP has already, over the past couple of years, and the last municipal elections, taken substantial chunks of power away from the ANC. Let's not forget Nkandla itself is an IFP constituency. Mm. So Shenge has been steadily encroaching upon ANC territory out there. And if you translate the votes that he's going to take away from the ANC in this coming election to corresponding votes of the National Assembly, I think that he's actually going to increase his footprint.
I've been trying to separate the man from the leader. The man who's done a lot in his own rights, absolutely. He's been at it for years and years and years. But as a party leader, that's why I asked with whom at the helm. What's the plan? I'm not wishing ill on the guy, but I watched him at the manifesto. He had someone else hold up his microphone for him.
So?
And then we were chatting earlier about old leaders. I'm not saying his brain doesn't work, but what is the continuation plan here?
Yeah, but can you imagine the outrage that would follow if someone were to hold up a microphone for Musi?
No, I don't
know. No, guys, come on. Assuming that you have both hands on a sheet of paper and you're reading out, it makes sense that someone will hold up a mic for you if in the absence of a mic stand. And is someone going to be holding his mic when he's going to be in the studio here next week?
No. It will be Sia.
No, but I think someone will have to help him up the stairs.
Sia, but
that's what I mean. That's my point.
Sia made a comment to me earlier, by the way, about flaccid mics.
Can we please stay on topic? Thank you very much, Mr. Captain. So, in your words, Spumi, politicians were politicking. So, the wrap-up of the manifesto, he definitely brought up terms and phrases and topics that everyone is talking about and what voters want to hear. So, just like the ANC and the EFF, the IFP in their manifesto appeared to be focusing on certain key election issues such as unemployment and land reform. For example, the party wants to introduce a special department, they say, to focus on creating youth
employment. Creating youth employment. And of course, you know, this comes back to the fundamental problem that we have on this continent, the idea that government creates jobs. Governments do not create jobs. The private sector creates jobs.
Government must stimulate the environment.
No, government mustn't stimulate. Government must get out of the way. Government must lose regulation, and then business will end up creating jobs. Really, it's that simple.
If you had to term the party's ambitions, are they ambitious? Are they noble? Are they wishful thinking? What do you think of the manifesto, overall?
Look, I think if you have to ask me what I think in terms of the reason why most people are in politics in this country right now, it's because they can't get jobs in any other sector.
Ooh, so, if there wasn't a mic stand, he'd be dropping that mic right now.
No, seriously, guys, look at the 400 odd people that we have sitting in the National Assembly,
mm-hmm.
and each of them are earning about $1 million a year, right? But the thing is that ask yourself how many of those 400 people could step out of parliament, get a job in the private sector that would pay them as much. Do they have the skill sets that would actually allow them to do that? No, of course not. And so if you're asking me, you know, what's the motive, what's the end game is to stay in power. It's what people do on this continent.
It's what politicians do all over the world.
That's
they
the
just
root
want
of
power.
Politicians politicking.
Well, fortunately, for the U.S., they learnt up front and they set term limits. And how brilliant is that?
Mm.
Yeah, two terms and you're out.
So if we look at it through that filter, then it says whatever they will say, whatever needs to be said. They will do whatever needs to be done for them just to stay in power.
Look, the thing in terms of Inkatha is that the real campaigning is behind the scenes. It's the stuff that's actually going on the ground, particularly in terms of the rural areas. Right. Make no mistake, the organizational capacity of Inkatha at that level now is substantially better than it was 5 years ago, simply because of the fact that the people of KwaZulu-Natal have been able to see the extent to which there has been pilfering on the part of Jacob Zuma.
Hmm.
So, you know, correspondingly, as Jacob Zuma's stock has fallen, the whole thing about the man you can trust, you know, and people are turning around and saying, yes, you know, we do know with Shenge that, you know, he's been consistent throughout the entire time. Exactly.
Look, and I'm really not taking anything away from him. I think he's earned his stripes. Well, he's proven we can trust him, but let's see that.
The other day I was driving to Pretoria, Canton, and there's a huge billboard with one Kenneth Mishwe on it. And I was like, what? ANC still exists and they're out there on billboards? Damn! Which is also why I then wondered, you know, are they using people's tithes just like Jimmy Manye's party?
By the way, guys, you know, speaking of billboards, I was driving from Pretoria to Otambo yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And there was a billboard across the R21 of Juju. And someone has slashed the billboard.
Really?
Yeah.
Like,
what?
They defaced the billboard.
No.
Up there?
Yes. The
you
billboard
must
up there
be
has been defaced.
Some
yeah.
kind of so, determined to
yeah,
go and a billboard.
Yeah.
But and what do you use to slash it?
Yeah, but, you know, seriously, guys, come on. This is an election era. Don't do stuff like that.
Mm.
You know, if you disapprove of the man, then show it at the polls.
Go but, and vote.
Yes, go and vote. But, you know, this business about defacing billboards and, you know, just destructive defacing.
I've seen that billboard of Juju too.
Yes.
It's quite a disturbing sight.
I'd like to know from the two of you, what are you looking at? So this is when you've sort of alluded to the fact that manifestos do hold something.
Yes.
Some way to you, you read it, that's how you become informed. What else are you looking at leading up to the 8th of May? And informing your decision to vote.
So I, for one, am very devastated that Ms. Zanele Magwaza Msibi is not going to be on that ballot because I do believe...
It was a stroke of bad luck.
Oh, no, too soon. Well, is it ever too... It is soon, I think. It
too
is soon.
Yeah. Too soon, Captain. Too soon. Because I do think that we have to go and vote. And I've been having lots of conversations with people who are kind of going, I don't know who to vote for. I'm not sure if I'm even going to vote, mm-hmm. right? And that is the wrong attitude to have. Because if you are unhappy with the government in position right now, the best thing to do is to go and vote and strengthen the opposition. Because what it does is it tempers, you know, it clips their wings a little bit. So not going to vote is not going to help you in any way. It is simply going to take away, in my view, your right to complain.
Right.
If you don't vote, then don't complain. I'm looking at exactly that. Given that almost everybody's policies are the same, I'm kind of going, who are the people that I can trust to stick
oh,
up?
Oh, you've answered yourself then.
Stick
you know
up.
Who to trust. You know what man.
I get to Uzanele. Yeah, well, this is what Kenton was talking about. Ukuthi without umama lapaya.
Yeah.
We now have to wonder if ubaba is the way to go.
Kenton, what are you looking for?
I will not be voting IFP.
But they are
the
your tribe. But they are your tribe.
And they are your tribe.
Yes, but I will not be voting IFP.
And he'll keep it at that.
Did you guys make it onto the ballot? Weren't you getting signatures to form a party the other day?
No, I was getting the signatures on behalf of...
Yes, did they make it?
I have no idea. I haven't followed up. I should check with that.
You must check.
Yeah. So you should have checked at 4:58.
Guys, you know...
So that you had
people
to
ask me for help, okay? We support the democratic process.
We do support the democratic process.
And, you know, frankly, the idea that you have as many parties on the ballot as possible is a good thing.
You reckon so?
I do indeed. And suddenly we have...
I'm horrified at the time.
At the time.
We haven't even covered so much more that we wanted to. But just to quickly complete your point, you will not be voting IFP, sure.
I will not be voting IFP. Look, unfortunately right now it looks like my choice is limited to the Freedom Front Plus. And I'm not going to be voting for them. But right now they're the only party that ticks the boxes that I'm looking for.
Last week they really did wow you, didn't they?
Yes. I mean, that's the issue.
That's what charmed him. That's what did it.
Yeah.
They have charmed him. We don't even get to talk about the State Security Agency.
No, not yet.
The issue of spies, my daughter.
We can save that for tomorrow.
The issue of spies, my daughter, you know?
It's that State Capture Commission of Inquiry updates. Hey, what is happening with Bosasa? We didn't even get to Ayanda Dlodlo's Dubai trip. What it was, what it wasn't.
And Agrizi is on his way back, yo. He's on his way back. He's like, I forgot some names. I got some more to spit out on this microphone.
I think
he's got some more bars to spit. I was just like, what?
Was it Nen, if I'm not mistaken, is also going to be called up to speak at the Zondo Commission?
Did you tell people, by the way, that the reason why Gareth is not here is because he's on a skiing holiday?
Yes.
And I came in and I told Sia, that's such a white
thing. In conclusion, what of it?
I told Sia, that's such a white thing to do.
He posted a video yesterday and I was looking at him thinking, how is this guy able to ski like this?
I will have to say it's very impressive.
I was like, how can this guy ski like this?
It is very impressive.
CGI white is people. Real.
You're, interestingly enough, the second person to bring that up.
Because we couldn't like, they see
want
his
him,
face.
Yeah, they want him to take his helmet off at the end of the video, at the next video to see. But yeah, Gareth is...
Flaccid microphones, helmets. Are we on a roll this morning? Oh, goodness.
What else do you expect from me? Anyway, Gareth is away for the remainder of the week, and he'll be back on the show next Monday.
Guys, I apologize for my lack of coherence this morning, as I said.
I'm starting to doubt things, Kenton.
Sleep deprivation is real. And
yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Why are you not sleeping?
Are you doing some ASMR?
Huh?
Stop.
I think that the burning platform is like the heat.
Can we put some water to these flames? Well, thank you so much, Pumi, for chatting this morning.
Thursday mornings are my favorite day of the week.
Because you get to see me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sure, let's go with that. Kenton, thank you very much for being here. As usual.
It's a pleasure, guys.
Dropping your pearls of wisdom. I will now go straight to Twitter to see your thread as to why you definitely believed in Nkosazana. Nkosazana Clarice Dlamini Zuma. And maybe I'll also find myself researching about our President Cupcake. And then lastly, finding out the origins of Musi, middle name whom?
Aloysius.
Sorry, I couldn't say that with a straight face. My mind. But thank you so much. This has been the Burning Platform, rather. And this is CliffCentral.com.
This is CliffCentral.com.